This is a sermon delivered on June 13, 2021 by Pastor Hon. The message title is The Faithful in Christ Jesus. The scripture passage is from the letter to the Ephesians chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Good morning. Let us read today's scripture passage. It is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Until last week, we learned the Word of God from the Book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and for some time from today, although it may last for some years, I'd like us to learn the Word of God from the letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. In particular, while realizing how great and glorious the plans and blessings that God has given to us Christians, I hope we can enjoy the blessing that their grace will become our blood and flesh eventually. The letter to the Ephesians, as the name implies, is believed to have been sent by the Apostle Paul to Christians in the ancient city of Ephesus, now located in western Turkey, but there is a view that it may be different. There are some manuscripts that lack the exact location Ephesus in the verse 1. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. There is also a view that it was later added as Ephesians because the content of the letter was particularly appropriate for the church in Ephesus. When you say so, it certainly has a slightly different taste from the other letters written by Apostle Paul. Many of Paul's letters in the New Testament were written to address problems that arose in the churches that received the letters. For example, the letters to Corinthians were written for the issue of secretarianism and gifts within the church, and the letter to Galatians was written to warn those who were trying to revert to old legalism. Also, the letter to Thessalonians were written because the church members were confused about the second coming of Christ. However, the letter to the Ephesians was not written to address any specific problems that were occurring in the church, but rather what all Christians who believe in Jesus Christ should know about the church, what kind of person Jesus Christ is that is associated with the church. The content is such that it solidifies the theological foundations such as ecclesiology and Christology. The book of Ephesians talks about the mystery of God, which is the foundation on which problems it can be addressed, and the problem is not first. So the book of Ephesians, or letter of to the Ephesians, may be a letter to Ephesian Christians, but it doesn't matter if it isn't. If the readers of the letter are Ephesians, we do not need ask, what is this all about? The content of the letter to Ephesians is important and necessary for all Christians, regardless the situation or environment in which they are. The central content of the letter to Ephesians is, what is a church? But the conclusion is that the question of what is a church itself is wrong, and the letter repeatedly says this. Instead of asking, what is the church? The Apostle Paul asks, who is the church? Which is a more accurate question. Who is the church? We will dive into the question, Who is the church in the letter to the Ephesians? When I entered a seminary in America 6 years ago, I was in a doctoral course, so all the subjects I took were electives and there were no compulsory courses that I needed to take. But so many students couldn't write a thesis to graduate. Since the graduation rate was poor, the survival of the doctoral course itself was in danger. So in order to raise the graduation rate, one compulsory course was prepared that had to be taken immediately after the enrollment. The course was called Research Design, and it taught us how to write a graduation thesis. As soon as I entered the university, and even before starting any classes, I was threatened in this course that I would not be able to graduate unless I prepare myself to write a dissertation. However, the course really helped me later, and I think I wouldn't have been able to graduate without this class. So in that class, I had to think about theme I wanted to write in the thesis and to create an introductory part of the thesis. I was told that the most important item in the introductory part was research questions. And I am to write a thesis in the form of answering these research questions defined in the introductory part. Therefore, depending on the research questions, the course and the destination of the thesis was going to be determined. So in a sense, research question is the most important in the introduction of the thesis. We were told that we would be asked by our supervisors to rewrite the research questions of our own thesis many times before we finally fix it. The reason why I talk about this now is that when we think of a church, we tend to ask questions as if we judge and evaluate it as an object that is a little distant from ourselves. But in the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul asks from the beginning to the end, who is the church, instead of what is the church? And Apostle Paul consistently continues to say that it is the question that gives us the right path to reach a mature adult Christian in Christ. In other words, the church is not an object that we judge or evaluate by saying the church is neither this nor that at the distance from ourselves, but we need to bring us back from the distance to ourselves to say it is a human being. The church is us, Christians. The church is you and myself. In short, he says, the church is not another person's matter, but your own matter. It's your personal matter. If one cannot answer the question, who is the church? It is no strange that he wanders around many churches until he finds one that he likes, that gives a pleasant sermon to his ears. He walks around until he finds a church that suits his style, taste, or atmosphere of worship. Or it is not strange that he might change the church or stop coming to the church because he does not like the interior of the church, the chapel, the color of the cross on it, or the pastor's appearance. If you don't think of the church as myself as a Christian and only have a view of the church that is left to others, this kind of behavior is quite possible and it is happening. If you cannot stand on the view of the church taught by Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, with a sense of responsibility as a believer that the church is myself who believes in Christ, no matter how far you go, it's a fault of someone else, and you cannot admit your mistakes or violence no matter how far you go. You just attack and blame others and try to show you are right. And the trouble is that the person in question does not notice it. Since he's acting from the sense of justice, that the organization of the church should be like this or like that, he only recognizes how correct he is. In response, the Apostle Paul, from his first self-introduction to the Ephesians, expresses a view of the church based on a sense of responsibility as a believer and a sense of mission that Christians themselves are the churches and I am the church. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of church, apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul's life was no longer possible without the will of God or Christ Jesus. In his life, there was no more place for a person named I other than Christ. He is Christian. He was Christian before being a genuine Israelite. He was a Christian before being a privileged Roman. A Christian before being a social elite in the first place. Being a Christian was Paul's most important identity, and without it, we cannot talk about Paul, and Paul wouldn't be there. A Christian before being an office worker, a Christian before being a student, a Christian before being a mother or father, a Christian before being a child of someone, a Christian before being a slave, a Christian before being a master, Christian before being a military man, a Christian before being a farmer, a Christian before being a fisherman, a Christian before being a researcher, a Christian before being a civil servant, a Christian before being a craftsman of something, a Christian before being a player of something, a Christian first before any other title. And what God did to Christ the Christian believes is written in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Then, what is the church that is said to be the body of Christ made of? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In other words, each Christian is a church. Who is the church? Each of us is the body of Christ and the church. And we, the church, are those who live by the will of God. When we think, is it the will of God or is it my thought? It is each one of us Christians, as the church, who live by the will of God. Through his self-introduction from Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, Paul says and expresses. Furthermore, instead of looking at this apostle Paul's statement from a distance, he said, "You also, like me, is the church itself, the body of Christ, who lives by the will of God, not by his own thoughts." He thoroughly teaches this to us throughout the letter to the Ephesians. As we all know, the Apostle Paul experienced all kinds of hardships that would be painful, even just to mention, because of the will of God in Christ. He was struck 5 times, close to death. His ship was wrecked 3 times. He was stolen, became thirsty, and made naked in the cold. And he couldn't help but be proud, because it was all for the will of God, not his. He was not proud of himself. He couldn't help but be proud of Christ. Because Paul himself was in Christ. Christ was in Paul. And he was one with Christ. In John chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Faith is not my thoughts or my plans, but the fact that everything begins with Jesus Christ. Faith starts with Jesus Christ. Faith means that Jesus is in me and I am in Jesus. Nothing is born or done apart from him. If we Christians stay in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is not the basis of everything, just as the branches themselves cannot bear any fruit if they do not stay in the vine, if we Christians do not stay in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is not the basis of everything, just as the branches themselves cannot bear any fruit if they do not stay in the vine, nothing is born, nothing is done, nothing happens. No matter what happened, no matter what was born, no matter what was done, no matter how much you did, no matter how much work you did, if one does not stay in Christ, or Christ is not in you, in him, he has nothing to do with God or Christ. He will be thrown away, withered, gathered, thrown into the fire, burned, and it is the end. And further in verse 7, he says, John's Gospel chapter 15, verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, you wish, and it will be done for you." Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What a fascinating word. It is such a fascinating word that a greedy and bad thought might come up to our mind. I wish only this word could stand on its own. The essential premise of this word is, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." This is the most essential condition. If the Lord Jesus is in me and I in him as one body, I want to be in the will of Jesus, seek what is in the will of Jesus, and I will wish for the will of Jesus. hands and feet cannot move in different directions, and the limbs do not move in the direction contrary to the instructions given from the head. Rejoicing in the instructions given by Christ, the head, and obeying his instructions as what I want, and the limbs move to make the head happy by secreting a happy hormone to make our brain rejoice. The meaning of the word, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, is, if I am in Christ and Christ is in me, I will not seek anything that does not suit Christ's will. The fact that I am in Christ and that Christ is in me is that the essence of faith, the essence of our body, our church, which holds Christ as the head. Therefore, the Apostle Paul was able to see the abundant fruit that lies beyond the hardships, and instead of boasting himself through the hardships, he became proud of Christ. David, King David, prophesies that the Christ was in him and that he was one body in Christ. In Psalm chapter 71, verses 5 through 9. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. From the time of birth, even though he was old and weakened, he sang that the Lord was the base, the place to escape. We embraced him, and he was filled with the praise and the prosperity of the Lord without ceasing. He lived in his thoughts and his plans until he became a believer, and now all things originate from God, and all things are made to live by the will of God. It is what Paul calls a faithful saint. On the other hand, the world begins everything with me, myself. My thoughts, my will, what I did, my belongings, my existence, me, 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 and me. The endless world of me, I, are prevalent in the world. We live in a world where it is no exaggeration to say that the medium of SNS dominates the world, but almost all of it is me. It's full of wanting you to know me. It is believed that something special is born by communicating about me, there is a solution by getting myself to be known, and that getting to know me is the way, and so on. But what is in it is the endless temporal stimulus and feeling of emptiness, which are mixed together. Of course, there is a certain amount of funds and smiles there, but if it is not connected to Christ, it is still temporal. When Paul introduced himself, there was no I there. There is only the will of Jesus Christ and God. But above all, I am a valuable person. I am precious, my path is glorious, and how wonderful is what is promised to me is clear only in Christ. Then Paul's self-introduction sentence, from Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, is paraphrased by applying it to the recipient of the letter, which is the next faithful saints in Christ Jesus in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and the holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, are synonymed. In other words, those who ask, "What is the will of God?" instead of "my thoughts," are faithful saints. I personally think that the word translated "loyal" in Japanese text that appears here is a mistranslation. This word translated as "loyal" is originally in Greek a word called pistois, which means faith or belief. So it is translated as godly or faithful rather than loyal. I think it will be a clearer translation. Now here, Paul's thought in the word pistois is that the church is a group of believers. What do this group believe in? A group that believes that Jesus is Christ. A group that believes that Jesus was crucified for our sins, died, was resurrected, ascended to heaven, and will come again. A group that believes in eternal life and heaven. A group that believes in eternal punishment and hell. Those who live with this faith are the faithful ones who do not believe in their own convictions, their own thoughts, their own experiences, or their own claims, but in the will of God, and that Jesus is Christ. And though one person who was certain of the faith, the entire Middle East and Europe changed. And through only one faithful believer, Paul, countless churches were born all over the world. It doesn't matter if the number of believers is large or small. If only one of us devotes all his energy and all his strength to believing in Christ, God will do things through that person. Believing in Christ also means knowing Christ. No matter how much you try to believe, you cannot believe it without knowing it. How much effort do we make to know Christ? The more we know Christ, the more we can believe in Christ. Also, about the word saints, the word holy in the Bible means distinguished. So, if you translate the word saints literally, you can say those who are distinguished. What were they distinguished from? It means that the way of their life does not start with themselves but with God. In other words, beginning with God is the word in Christ Jesus. Starting with God means being in Jesus Christ, and being in Jesus Christ means being connected to God. In verse 1, Paul says, "To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." But the word "in Christ Jesus" is the core that appears more than 30 times in the letter to the Ephesians. It is an expression that is, those in Christ Jesus are saints, and the will of God, not mine, is the foundation and the basis of their lives, and they are the church. After introducing himself as Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, the apostle Paul called Ephesian Christians for the same meaning, the faithful in Christ Jesus. It was neither to put pressure on recipients of the letter, nor to impose a burden on them, but to share the encouragement and the fact that all of us Christians will never be deprived of their status as the children of God because they are in the Lord Jesus. One of the things we Christians have to remember is the fact that the love and eternal blessings of the Lord for us will never be deprived. So no matter where we are passing now, no matter what failures and setbacks we might have experienced up to this point, all of them will be used to bring us to the height of Christ. So you don't have to blame others unnecessarily, and you don't have to justify yourself unnecessarily. But all you need is tolerance and patience for others. The book of Ephesians, a letter to the Ephesians, as I said at the beginning, is about who is the church and what kind of person Christ is, who is the head of the church. It was written from perspectives of the eternal glory that you will have in the future. In other words, now is not everything. For this person, for that person, and for me, now is not all, and this and that are not all now, and we are on the path of being transformed in the Lord to inherit eternal glory and kingdom. Those who are in the process might appear insufficient, unfit, unsuitable, or unachieved in the eyes of the human beings, but that is all that people think. Because of the ultimate glory that will come in the future and the splendor of God's plan, we Christians, who are the bodies and the Church of Christ, can live firmly, finding meanings in the present. Now, every Christian is in the process of being cultivated in the wonderful plan of God for ultimate glory. We are still incomplete. Nevertheless, the Apostle Paul first described himself as the Apostle Paul of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And the still unfinished Christians were called and affirmed as faithful Ephesian saints in Christ Jesus. Each of us, the Church of Christ, wants to live while imitating and expressing Paul's confession and statement. Let us pray.